The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. My first foray into using Grok. I took our fire danger. I'll have to do a little more editing now. I'll have to change today's fire danger to Goody's urgency gauge. But we've got Smokey the Bear. He's changed his hat. He's got a G on it thanks to Grok. This is fun. I'm kind of enjoying this. Jesse, before we put a bow on the Jair Alexander conversation, because I do want to get into Jordan Love, we got to play trivia next. But is there any other text messages that we didn't get to that you were hoping to?
I think I have one more here that I wanted to post for you guys. Oops, that's not how we do that. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, is there a way? Can you? That was new. Can you make this font smaller? Like I don't feel like it's.
Yes,
small
I could. If you want me to.
Show.
Here we go, please. Scott in Racine. Are you backing up your take on Jair Alexander? What's going on there?
What exactly is going on? Got a nice morning until that, but it's freezing, so continue.
Scott and Racine, Goody needs to bring someone in then, with the release of Jair Alexander set to take place today. $47 million in the bank. I'm turning you off, Tausch. This is we're take a break. $47 million in the bank. Trade for above average defensive back. He should have drafted higher for a DB in the draft, as he knew ahead of time he would make this decision. Nixon is a nice player, that's Keyshawn Nixon, but not a difference maker that you're losing in Jair. We need a top player, not just a guy. Scott and Racine not feeling great about the move today.
I think there's a fair argument to be made that other people don't feel as strongly about Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs and Carrington Valentine as maybe we do. Like, they are entrusting their cornerback position now to a group of guys that are going to have to deal with some really good wide receivers, and none of them have proven to be top flight, upper echelon corners.
Okay,
that doesn't mean
Jason,
they can't be.
Here's where I'm concerned, because I think I put a lot of stock in that Philadelphia playoff game and how good the defense looked.
Uh-huh.
And I maybe have to look. Jalen Hurts missed a bunch of time before that. He was rusty.
He was.
Their offense stunk that day. Green Bay's defense dominated that offense almost all day. The Bears' offense, it stunk. The Packers' defense, until they had to make a stop, they didn't in that Bear game. But then I'm starting to think about, you know, when we played against Minnesota and Sam Darnold gets showered with Gatorades and everything else, because correct me if I'm wrong, he torched us. Did the Vikings not torch us in that third to last game of the year? I'm trying to remind myself and remember if that was the game in Minneapolis where O'Connell was sitting there kind of with that proud papa look to him in the locker room because Sam Darnold had just played the game of his life against this defense without Jair.
So Sam Darnold's stat line from that game was 33 of 43 for 377 yards, three touchdowns, one pick, 116.1 passer rating. So, yes, your memory is on point.
Here is the problem I have, and I fall into this just like I think Goody fell into over – playoff games are obviously critically important, and they leave a mark. That game left a mark of, boy, the defense played awesome the last 2 weeks. And the defense as a whole, I think we all thought, got better last year. Created a heck of a lot more turnovers. Obviously, X made a huge difference. But I think we have to look at, and maybe I have been negligent in this, as an analyst, how do we do in the big boy games? because the Philly playoff game, the defense was really good. But how do we do in Brazil? How do we do against Detroit up there? How do we do against Minnesota? Because we lost those games. And for as much as the defense played really well against Houston, played really well against other teams, how do we do when we played the big boys that you gotta beat? Mm-hmm. How do we do against the Rams with Stafford? Because I think the Rams torched us a little bit. We ended up winning the game, but did their offense not have a big day against this defense?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that makes me – I think we need to probably – we can look at things on a whole. And when you look at trying to figure out averaging and what do you expect, that's a good way to do it. But the NFL, it's about matchups, and it's about, well, how do we do against the big boys? Uh-huh. And when you're looking at this defensive back room, yeah, it's great when you're shutting down, not to pick on anybody, but Tennessee and Houston and, you know, Cleveland with their offense. How do you do when you got to go against the big boys? Because that's how you're judged. And I wonder if maybe we've underestimated that, because when somebody just saw, that's the worst defensive back room in the league. Well, no, but is it good enough to stop? And this is what I keep coming back to. Mm-hmm. Is this going to be good enough to stop Jay Jettison, Addison, and A.J. Brown, and, you know, their cast, you know, the tight end, Goddard, and the answer last year was no.
No.
Mm-hmm. Did we get better with Hobbs compared to Jair? Maybe. Did we get better rushing the passer? I know Edgerrin Cooper's going to be better. Is Lucas Van Ness going to be better? And that's what Goody is banking on. So I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves, don't just think back to that last playoff game, which I have kind of latched onto that. You also have to look at, I think you have to also keep that visual in mind of Sam Darnold getting doused with Gatorade, because he just torched that secondary and that defense up in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out, because they're playing a hell of a lot of good wide receivers. And we've talked a lot on this show about, oh, well, the Lions, they lost both their coordinators to head coaching jobs. What are they going to be like in week one? Well, if they have a coordinator that can get Jared Goff to be throwing to open Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and Laporta, then the Packers will be challenged, and we'll see how they handle it. But the Packers didn't get better today. I saw a few people in the YouTube comments arguing that it's addition by subtraction. Well,
no.
They've been dealing with subtraction with him for a while with all of his injuries that he's missed. They're not better off without him. They have more salary cap space without him. They're not on the hook for a big salary without him. They are eliminating the distraction of will he play this week or not, which obviously frustrated the head coach.
Will he be captain or not?
But they're not better off without him.
Agree.
That's just not the case. So we will see how it plays out. Again, I don't know how good Keyshawn Nixon is. Tausch can tease me for watching two games of Nate Hobbs, but despite that extensive video research that I did, I don't know how good he's going to be either. And let's be honest, neither do the Packers. They have an idea of what they think he will be capable of doing in their system. And look, if he fits what Jeff Hafley wants to do and he stays healthy, awesome. Then he's going to be perfect for what they do. But they don't know that yet. And remember, last season, he only played in 11 games. Mm-hmm. Now, that's four more than Jair did. But he missed time, too. In fact, since he's been in the league, he has never played a full season. 2021 was that first year of 17 games. He played 16.
That's 4 years ago, right?
Yes. Okay. 11 in 2022, 13 in 2023, and 11 again last year. So, in the last 4 years, Jair Alexander has only played 34 games. In the last 4 years, significantly more for Nate Hobbs, 51 games. But it's not like he has been Mr. Durability. So if he plays all 17 games, great. But the likelihood is not that he'll do that. And then how do you feel about what their depth is at the position? Because, sure, they can move. They have some options at slot corner, right? They can move Bullard in there. They can play Keyshawn Nixon in there and play somebody else outside. But I don't know. I like Kalen King. I'm intrigued by him, but he's done nothing to prove himself at the NFL level. Micah Robinson is a rookie seventh-round pick out of Tulane. They're not very deep. If they have injury problems at corner, it's going to be rough. Can we agree on that?
I just wonder, is it going to be rough going against the teams I just mentioned with our lineup without any injuries?
Oh, even if they are healthy.
How good are they when they're healthy?
Yeah. Fair.
They were really good against Philly. Really good. Chicago's offense was inept. Let's just call it what it was.
Yep.
Their offense was inept. They were done. Minnesota, I think the defense got a lot better last season without having it. But we said, well, the pass rush wasn't very good against big boy O-lines. You know, Detroit, Philly. And that helps, obviously, you know, being able to complete balls and whatnot. How good was the coverage versus the big boy receiving core? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I'll look at Pro Football Focus and see how some of those guys graded out in the bigger games. But as you brought up, it certainly wasn't good enough, even if you grade on a curve of their poor pass rush. I think Sam Darnold was sacked once in that game at U.S. Bank Stadium. It certainly wasn't good enough against, as you like to continually call him, Jay Jettis, Justin Jefferson, or Jordan Addison. And if I remember correctly, their third receiver cooked
had a big day.
The Packers in a big way that day. Which
that's probably why they
that
got
goes
hops.
Back to that right, and that goes back to the Mike McCarthy thing, right? When you put Big Five out there, we don't think you've got enough people to cover all of our guys that can run routes at wide receiver and get open.
Yep.
All right. Jesse, because we were at the AmFam Championship, unlike, though, on Saturday, or was that yesterday? That was yesterday. I talked to you way more than I normally would. You were on every weekend
show.
We had
a big weekend together this weekend, yeah.
Indeed. And I got to meet Mo, which was awesome. But we didn't pull a winner for the Vortex Golf Range Finder and Swag Bag.
You're right. Forgot about that.
And it's time for trivia. We'll get to that scintillating 2 minute and 33 second conversation between Jordan Love and myself at the AmFam Championship tomorrow instead. Jesse, how do you want to handle trivia before Tausch tells us about Quick Trip and his lidless coffee?
I can go get our materials before we take our caller if we'd like to do this the fair and square way and we draw our winner. So
those are the rules.
Let's have Tausch tell us about Quick Trip. I'll step out and come back real quick. We'll draw our winner. And then we'll take our next contestant. Again,
all right, Tausch.
This is the last week for the Vortex Range Finder as part of the swag bag with our Wildy and Tausch trivia.
So you want to get in.
So this is a big one.
Well, I grabbed my coffee this morning from Quick Trip.
And then spilled it.
I did spill it. And they have another great fun contest this summer. The Quick Trip Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Every sip gets you closer to the summit. You have through August 17th to play every day for free. And you get an opportunity to win $5,000. And you keep going. It gets all the way up. The pinnacle is $250,000. So get climbing now. They also have great deals going. Lean ground beef, $2.99. Simply Potatoes shredded hash browns for $1.99 for a 20-ounce bag. Life is busy. We get it. Quick Trip is your one stop for variety, quality, and fast service. Gas, free air for your tires. Head on over to Quick Trip now. Use that. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer, like rewards on every purchase and ordering ahead. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
Jesse is getting his materials to pull a winner for the... Wow, look, there he is.
Oh,
he just reappeared out of the blue.
Congratulations. A lot of... You know, Hunter's handwriting is not nearly as good as mine, if I do say so.
Once again, pushing other people down to push ourselves up.
Thanks to Hunter for producing three shows last week. Riley for one. I thought I did pretty good, too, on jury duty. Congratulations. Gosh, this was all the way last Monday. Tim in Madison is our winner. Congratulations to Tim.
Congratulations, Tim. Time now to start a new week of winners and see who earns the Vortex Golf Rangefinder, the final one we're giving away.
Penultimate.
No, that was last week.
Tim just won the penultimate.
So now this is just
rangefinder.
The ultimate?
This is
or the pent?
This is the final rangefinder that we'll have to give away. We'll still have plenty of swag bags to give away for the next several weeks, but this is the last rangefinder that will be part of the swag bags.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the sports weekend recap is the category, and in honor of Jair Alexander, Jesse has requested that we take caller 23. Caller 23 right now. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 23 right now. By the way, thank you also to Josh DiMaggio, who produced an hour of the show last week.
Thanks,
he was
Josh.
Part of the It Takes a Village to replace Jesse Nelson. Caller 23 right now, 844-770-3776. We'll play trivia presented by Vortex Golf, range finders you can bet on. Next, stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. You can see me turning. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
One final Vortex Golf rangefinder is on the line in Wilde and Tausch Trivia.
Wilde and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Dwayne in a big truck. Dwayne, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning.
It's been a while. Great to have you back. The category is the Sports Weekend Recap. A Vortex rangefinder and swag bag is on the line. Question one is this. Which Milwaukee Brewers player, quote, turned out the lights with a walk-off home run to beat the San Diego Padres on Saturday night? Was it Caleb Durbin, Joey Ortiz, or Fernando Vina?
We're going to go with Durbin.
Well done. Question two is this. After each of the first two games went to overtime, where does the Stanley Cup final currently stand as the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers get set to play game three tonight? Is it Edmonton leads the series 2-0? Is it Florida leads the series 2-0? Or is the series tied 1-1?
I'm going to go 1-1. Series.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Some good hockey being played, though. Love those overtime games in hockey.
Rematch of last year that went to Game 7.
Question 3 is this.
What are you laughing at?
It's a great drop that nobody acknowledged. I agree with you. Jason just was like, yeah, whatever.
It's a good hockey rivalry. We got the two teams that are the furthest from each other possible to play in a Stanley Cup. They play back-to-back years. Super competitive.
Yeah, nobody's. I don't think anybody's arguing with you, Jesse.
Good for the sport.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything else you'd like to comment on last year's?
McDavid, pretty good player.
Yeah, McDavid's a star. Kachuk's a star.
Dreisaitl.
Canada versus the U.S. always makes for a good Stanley Cup. There's a lot.
Dreisaitl.
A lot of good stuff going on with this Stanley Cup final.
Skinner.
Any former Badgers on either of those teams, Jesse?
I'm sure there probably is.
I hope. I don't know for sure.
Okay. Did that Game 7 go to overtime?
I don't think it did, but I can't remember.
All right, let's get to the next question.
Oh! Now suddenly we're done talking about Game 7 from last year.
It was close. I remember that. It was a good game. I watched
it. There you go.
All right, Dwayne. Question 3, now that we've given that sufficient discussion time, is this. Which of these horses became the first since 2018 to win two legs of the Triple Crown after capturing a victory at the Belmont Stakes on Saturday? Was it Journalism, Sovereignty, or Justify?
I have no clue. Let's go with B.
Yes, sir.
When in doubt,
yes, sir.
I'll go with B. And Sovereignty.
Another tough loss for Journalism. Man, yeah. Tough run.
So, but did Journalism win the middle race?
Yes.
So it was Journalism always so close.
Yeah.
This close to a Triple Crown. Not happening. So Journalism finished second in both the other races?
I believe that is the case, yes.
No, Journalism won. Journalism won the Preakness.
Yeah.
Right, but the other two races, I believe they lost second.
The Belmont that wasn't actually at the Belmont. I realized that after they were at Saratoga because they're renovating the Belmont.
Oh, okay. But Anything else about Game 7 of last year's Stanley Cup?
I think we need to just go all in on the Derby and be done with the Triple Crown. If you're not even going to race anymore... We're now doing load management for equine. Like, all right, I've had enough. I love horse racing. The Derby has been great. It's over. We're not even going to – your only major event, and you're going to say, no, I need a break. We're going to take load management for horses. That's what we're doing. And I get that there's all kinds of stuff, but if this is how it's going to be, it's over. It's done.
It's a good take.
It's not a take. It's reality.
Dwayne, congratulations.
Oh, you got Dwayne's all... still here. Dwayne, yeah, my bad. I didn't know Dwayne was still here. Dwayne, what do you think about Triple Crown horse racing? I didn't realize Dwayne was still there.
All in on the Derby.
The Derby, everything should go into the Derby. Should just be the Super Bowl and be done with it. That's it.
Right.
All right. Dwayne and I are on the same page. Dwayne, I'm sorry.
I know you're driving, and I don't know if you reached your destination.
Totally on me.
Had a very important opinion about horse racing.
Totally on me, Dwayne. I didn't realize Dwayne was still on the line.
He's been waiting on that Derby take for 8 weeks, and he finally got to it.
So, Dwayne.
Dwayne, what do you think about the NHL playoffs?
Tell me more about Game 7 from last year before we let Dwayne go. Dwayne, man. You got all three right. You got four entries into Friday's drawing, which may include a trip to your local horse racing track as well, in addition to the Vortex swag bag and range finder. thanks for playing, and thanks for sticking around all the way through Tausch's take on horse racing. We appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, love the show. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
Well, you say you want more takes? You want stuff for every stage of life. UW Credit Union is here forever. You, proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, OT, why did you join UW Credit Union? To keep your banking local. Well, of course, the member first service, absolutely. The great perks like early payday. Well, I love that too. But I just love Bucky. We saw big old Bucky out at the golf course. Bucky's everywhere. That's why we love it. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom makes you do crazy things, but man, this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
Can I tease Woe Nelly?
Yes.
You can, but first, let's talk more horse racing. No, Rob Vogel informing us, the ombudsman, Vancouver versus the Panthers would be the farthest apart cup final possible.
It's crazy that Jesse would just say something randomly and expect it to
well,
be right.
Okay, so here's what I know for sure. It is the longest distance in a Stanley Cup final that they've ever had, and I thought it was the longest possible. I knew Edmonton, I think they're further north than Vancouver. I was wondering if they were...
Now you're just guessing.
I was wondering.
All right, here's the
distance
deal. Tomorrow, Jesse, I want Canadian trivia.
Yeah.
Geography trivia.
All right, we'll do it. As you wish.
And we'll get Rob Vogel to write it. Jesse, feel free to tease out into Woe Nelly.
I got a text from Up North Joe during Wildy and Tausch trivia presented by Vortex Golf. One of the questions upset him because he committed an egregious foul as a fan over the weekend. I will tell you what that is and see if the critique of his fandom is justified next on Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse Nelson teased this out. Now I bring us back for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
All right, for this segment, we're going to not focus on Jair Alexander for a few minutes. A lot of Jair Alexander talk
Ergie
the
Bear.
Course of the day. We'll get our latest version of Ergie the Bear up here on the video stream before segments end. But I do want to start with what I teased us out with. So, Up North Joe and Mrs. Up North Joe and Little Up North Josephine went to the Brewers-Padres game on Saturday night. Baby Little Up North Josephine is less than, what, 3 months old? Still new to this world. I think it's her second Brewers game she's been. I think they took her to one before this. They left after the top of the ninth inning.
Sounds like my parents.
So the Brewers up 3-1 in the bottom of the eighth. They give up 2 runs in the top of the ninth when they were 1 out away from potentially winning the game. Up North Joe's family leaves the game, and they are walking to the car as they hear the eruption from inside the stadium as Caleb Durbin walks off the game in one of the top 4 Mount Rushmore of Brewers wins for the season so far this year. The Yelich Grand Slam is probably number 1. But this one's up there, one of the best wins of the season, especially at American Family Field.
We're doing Mount Rushmore's for in-season wins in June?
Just trying to qualify the magnitude of the victory.
Just say what are the best wins of the year and move on.
Yeah, great win. Yeah,
significant win for the Brewers over the Padres. Walk-off home run, bottom of the ninth after giving it up. Big win for the Brewers.
Teddy Roosevelt of wins.
So I don't have a child of myself.
You don't have a child of yourself?
I don't. So I don't know if this is IPT or not. If you have a less than a 3 month old, and you say after the top of the ninth, even if they give up the game tying runs, we're out. Or if you say we got to at least stay through nine with the Brewers having a chance to win, how would either of you experienced parents handle this particular situation?
Jason.
Well, so as someone who left the Easter Sunday 1987 game, which is obviously the memorable game in which Dale
Mount
Swaim...
Some say it's the top of the Mount Rushmore of regular season wins.
Rob Deere ties it with a homer. Dale Swaim wins it with a homer. Having left a Packers-Seahawks game when Blair Keel rallied the team... to a near comeback victory at County Stadium. My parents were big leave early people. Like, I was happy if we got to stay all the way to the bottom of the seventh. We were leaving in the top of the eighth, no matter what the score was. I don't leave games early because I go now for my job. Unless, of course, it's a Bucks game and I have to pick up a ballerina at practice. But I don't have any problem. None whatsoever. With two young parents leaving a game early, even if they miss out on an exciting finish. When you've got your little three-month-old, Josephine, which is not her real name, I assume?
It is not.
With them.
Tausch?
No, I don't have a problem either. Parenting's hard. How is he supposed to know they're going to blow the game, blow the lead and then have a... Like, you don't know, right? So... I mean, obviously, ideally, we'd love to stay for every game. And then once the game's over, Moses parts the traffic and we just go. Well, that's just not the reality of the world we live in. So if you gots to go, you gots to go. I'm not going to be judgy Josephine on this. So no, go do your thing.
I can't believe you're being this judgy, Jesse. Wait until you and Becca have kids.
Whoa, Nelly.
That's why I was wondering if my perspective would change on it, but. If you're staying through the top of the ninth, at least stay through the bottom of the ninth to see if they win it. If you want to leave after nine and say, we're not staying for extra innings, sure, that's fine. If they give up the lead in the top of the ninth, just stay through the bottom of the ninth, see if they win it. It's a tie game.
Whoa, Nelly!
AmFam Championship wrapped up on a rainy Sunday afternoon. About a two-hour rain delay took place in the morning, but ultimately the tandem of... Thomas Bjorn and Darren Clark, your 2025 AmFam Championship victors.
Baby Bjorn.
Good one.
Thanks.
I was going to say a star is Bjorn.
It's not bad.
Thank you.
Bjorn again. It's another one.
Bjorn supremacy.
Now, was he the one with the O with the line through it in his name?
Yes, that's the very one.
I think, is that better than the umlauts? I always love the good umlaut.
I just want to state for the record that I knew the minute I said that I was either going to get the little squiggly over the N or the umlaut.
The tilde or the umlaut, yes.
How did the local fellas do, Jesse?
Stricker and Tiziani, one of the teams that tied for second. They were atop the leaderboard after day two, and they were right there on day three. Came up just a couple of strokes short. Bjorn and Clark got hot on day three and were able to prevail. But overall, Tausch, you're the golf guy here. What do we make of the
golf guy?
Two-member team. What am I trying to say? The two-person scramble
two-man
format.
Team.
There it is. The two-person scramble format for the AmFam Championship in 2025.
Okay. I thought it was it's unique. I think it's a different way to do it. With that said, I would talk to Andy North on Friday. This is how you need to do it. Go scramble to start. Get everybody comfortable on Friday. Then you do best ball on Saturday. And then I heard people saying, oh, modified alternate shot. No, no, no. Alternate shot all day Sunday. You're going to get drama. If you're going to do team events, there's nothing that will mess you up more and bring more to the table. It's hard, but alternate shot needs to be this. I bet they'll do a modified alternate shot next year. I will push Steve next time I talk to him. I want to push him to say all in on alternate shot, because it's just even okay. I'll say this. I'll even give him a bone on this. Modified.
How nice of you for his tournaments.
Here's the deal. Nate Pokras, I know you're an avid listener. Modified the first nine, the back nine, it's just go. Alternate shot, the nine coming in. That is what I think. That's what I'd love to see the AmFam champ do next year. You're welcome. You can take my advice.
Of course he tried to change the rules. We should have known this was coming.
The most on-brand.
First off, that's not changing. Just wait a second. Not changing the rules. That's changing the format. And it's, by the way, it's going to make it better. 32 or 33.
All right.
Listen, 33 under par is great. That is awesome. But I'm telling you right now, yeah. I think when you're talking TV and fans, I think we want to see a little bit more. That's all. It's not a down. It's not a to denigrate anything. It's,
I understand.
I think we want to see it.
All right. Next time I make a
Jason,
subtle.
I played in a member guest where they did alternate shot. We had the lead, or we were tied for the lead. We ended up finishing like 10th place. Alternate shot will kick you in the teeth. And your partner will kick
was
you.
Was it all Bollinger's fault?
No, this wasn't. It was a different partner. But he sculled one out of bounds, and you get left behind a tree, and you're like, dude, why are you leaving me behind a tree? And then you can't make that putt. Well, then I lagged it. You missed this. And it's fun. It's hard.
That doesn't sound fun. That sounds like divisive among two teammates.
Yeah, it's
getting
both.
After each other.
Okay. It's both.
And just for the record, next time I have a subtle difference in words, please remember that Jesse said you're changing the rules, and you said, no, I'm changing the format.
Well, is there not a difference between...
It's kind of... The format is kind of the... All right, you're not playing alternate shot, you're playing
now all
scramble.
Of a sudden, rules and format are the same thing? I don't think you guys understand what rules/format means, if you really think that. Like, they're totally different.
Though. Did they
is
change
the format the... not the rules to which you follow on when yeah. who hits the
did,
ball?
Did they change the rules no. of the college football playoff or the format of the college football playoff? Maybe you're actually right.
I'm 100% right.
Dang it.
I wasn't even trying to, like, pound into your head. You all think format and rules are the same thing. Oh, what's the speed? 55, that's the format. Really? Okay. Well, officer, well, the format changed. Oh, I thought this. Come on, dudes. Come on now.
Whoa, Nelly.
Can I leave us on a positive note here?
Probably not.
We have three submissions for our official artwork for Ergy the Bear.
Okay.
Representing the Packers' urgency in 2025. So we saw version one. Here's version one from Rudy in Sheboygan.
That's not winning.
Earlier.
Rudy in Sheboygan, that ain't going to win.
Looks more like almost a claymation-style 3D animation with a Packers helmet.
Sure.
Pudgy with his diaper.
He does fit the ethos of the show.
Yes, I like him. I like this Ergy. All right, option two comes from Jason. This is a more classic look, like Yogi. No, wait. Is
Smokey.
This is Smokey with his chart, with it doctored up appropriately. Or, as requested by Tausch from our guy Greg on Twitter,
Greg!
Option three is Ergy outside Lambeau Fields.
Oh, my God.
With a very creepy cartoon version of Dunzo the Clown riding Ergy in a blue T-shirt with the word Ergy written across the front. Which one do we like the most?
I'm going to say this. It's always going to take a lot to unseat Greg when it comes to this. Greg's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
It's good. He did deliver something that I did not, and that is Dunzo the Clown. This appears to be Dunzo
so
the murderous
good.
Clown.
Why does he have a lollipop?
He looks like the clown from It.
Yes.
Is he doing that lollipop?
Of balloons,
Lord knows,
that's
the red balloon of death that you see
it
in
it. It looks like a lollipop.
Yeah.
We will wrap things up for today. My cheeks hurt. I've been laughing so much today. To wrap things up next, it's Wildy and Tepsch.
The Packers are moving on from Jair Alexander.
Is this going to be the case where we're going to look back and say, man, did Green Bay really screw up?
Continue reacting with us right here on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
So we have another image of Ergy, our urgency bear, to share on the video platforms from Jimmy, who sent that in via Twitter. Tausch, you're going to go hit the course, correct?
It looks like you might have already.
Yes. No, I'm here yet. It's cold, but we tee off at noon. So, yes, I am going to take Ergy with me. I think I'm gonna, my urgency level today to try to win is high since we didn't get it done last week.
So to put a bow on the urgency discussion, are we debating how urgent they are because they moved on from Jair or because they have as much cap space as they still have to work with?
It's not the Jair part. It is the
cap me either.
Space. I think we knew this was going to happen. And again, there is still time, but it does make you think a lot more about what are we doing? I know we got young players, but you don't need to have that much cap space when all is said and done, especially if you don't feel like your cornerback room is where it needs to be. Maybe they feel that way. Maybe we're going to be, oh my God, they shut down. We'll find that out. But that is a lot of cap space for a team that is, you know, Super Bowl supposedly supposed to be chasing a championship this year, and your general manager talked about it openly, and your quarterback. Maybe this is just where they're at with the structure of all their players' contracts, but it does make you go, that's all.
We do agree that adding Jalen Ramsey doesn't solve the problem here.
Adding Jalen Ramsey? What?
Yeah. If the Packers,
I don't want Jalen Ramsey.
Right. It doesn't solve the problem.
No.
Here.
No, it doesn't.
But that would. But they have cap space, and that would show urgency. That's my point. Is that don't do something just because two knuckleheads on the radio or the fan base is suggesting that they need to use this cap space. Now, if it's Trey Hendrickson, I'm a little more interested. But Jalen Ramsey does not solve their cornerback problem. It just, in my opinion, creates another one.
I would agree with all of that. I think I just wonder if there is something else besides a Zach Tom extension or Quay or someone else. What else? There has to be more to this story. You backloaded Jordan Love's contract. You had ideas. And I'll be curious if that idea is still out there, if that's gone.
All right. Well, go play well. We wish you the best. Hit them straight. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. See you guys.
That is Mark Tauscher, and that is it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.